Hello, everybody, and welcome into another edition of Unpopular Opinions. I'm your co-host, Chuck Taylor, and as always, I'm brought to you by... Man, I did that 2 weeks in a row now. I am joined by... I don't know what's going on with me. I'm joined by my trusty co-host, the briefcase, everybody. It's Casey Cobb. Casey, how's your weekend been?
It's been a good weekend. So, I guess apparently I am now the official sponsor of Unpopular Opinions. Yeah.
We needed one. And I think I have an idea for what I'm going to call this episode now. So at least we have that going for us. But Casey, we had a lot of good games this weekend in college football. And, I don't want to start anywhere else, but with the upsets. Number 6, Wisconsin, goes down to Illinois. Now, all Wisconsin had to do was just win this game, and they play next week against Ohio State to see who takes control of that Big Ten.
Right.
Wisconsin couldn't get it done. Couldn't get it done, Casey.
Well, they couldn't, you know. I mean, it was a fairly low-scoring game. Not a ton of offense, even though Jonathan Taylor got 132 yards on 28 carries. Took him a lot of carries to get up there, got a touchdown. But, that was a great game, man. And I got to see the end of that where they kicked the field goal and that kicker just put it right through the uprights. And it was crazy town there, you know. Got Lovie Smith walking around with that huge Santa Claus beard he had on. I don't know if you saw that. I didn't even recognize him from his days with the Chicago Bears. But, they went crazy. So, I mean, pretty amazing, pretty awesome performance by the Illini. You know, Lovie came in there and he said, hey, listen, you know, we're going to win this game. Like, he predicted they would win this game. And, you know, doggone, they sure went out there and did it.
Yeah, I suppose that's why they're called the Fighting Illini. They really earned their moniker there. Yeah, right, this was a defensive struggle. I mean, you know, Illinois, you look at their offensive stats, they really didn't blow the doors off of Wisconsin. Wisconsin has a heck of a defense.
Yeah, they do.
Really, really strong defense. And I think that's what's going to give them a chance, that and Jonathan Taylor against Ohio State. But, Illinois put it, you know, they put together just enough to take home this one 24-23. And with it being in Illinois, that really helped. But, yeah, crazy, crazy top 10 upset there. So Wisconsin no longer in the driver's seat, definitely surpassed by Penn State, and we'll go into that in a minute. But just a couple other minor upsets. BYU upset number 14 Boise State 28-25, and then Vanderbilt, you know, over Missouri, number 22 Missouri. But not a whole lot of upsets. But I don't know if you have anything to say about those two. But SMU out there in Dallas moved to 7-0. Did you happen to catch that?
Yeah, you know, I did not get to catch that. I had to read about it later, but gosh, how awesome is that, right? 7-0, taking care of Temple, coming back and winning that game is pretty amazing for the city of Dallas and pretty amazing for SMU. I'm, again, still super excited about what they're doing down there and on the hill, as they call it. Yeah.
Yeah, Shane Buechele, 30 of 53 for 457 yards and 6 touchdowns.
Ridiculous, man.
Shane the Train. Yeah.
Wow.
They got SMU. Wow. They got SMU rolling there. That's going to be a, they got a special season going. 7-0 is nothing to shake a stick at. So
right.
We'll see if they can continue it. But anyways, before we go into week 9, I didn't really preface this, but I don't think it'll be too hard. I just want to briefly talk just a little CFP and kind of take a step back, take a little big picture step. And see where we are right now. So looking at the rankings right now, we don't have the CFP rankings out yet. I think they'll be out next week or maybe the week after. We're getting really close, but we're 7 games into the season. We're a little over the midway point. And right now your top 4 in order are Alabama, LSU, Ohio State, and Clemson, with Oklahoma sitting in that 5th seed. So Casey, I just wanted to ask you, as we sit right now and knowing where the schedule goes somewhat, I know you don't know the schedules of all these teams, if you had to give your top 4 right now with one outside team looking in, the number one outside team, who would your top four be in order thus far, looking back at what we've seen so far from them this season and what they have in front of them?
Oh, wow. You're putting me on the spot here, man. Okay. So actually, the top 25 is out, Chuck.
Yes. No. The AP is. The CFP.
CFP. Yeah. Oh, uh-oh. Yeah. Alzheimer's is setting in again. you know, what I'm looking at here, to be honest with you, I'm okay with Alabama being number one. All right. I'm okay with Clemson being number four. I really would like to see Oklahoma in there somewhere. You know, I mean, they've been pretty dominant so far. So I might kick Ohio State out. And I think we're going to find out what happens coming up this week with Ohio State. I believe that they may be suspect. I think Oklahoma, I could see Oklahoma being in that number four spot and Clemson moving up into that number three spot with Ohio State. I'm okay with Alabama and LSU being number one and number two, you know. But we're going to get some clarity as this thing continues, right? I mean, absolutely, because some of these teams are going to lose. They're going to have to. Alabama's going to play LSU, you know. Ohio State's going to play Wisconsin. We'll see what happens there.
Yep.
Clemson, I don't think we'll lose. Clemson will probably win out, and we'll see about Penn State too. Right? I think Penn State and Iowa State will have to play as well. So, unless they're in separate conferences, I can't remember.
No, I think Penn State does play Ohio State. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So there's another thing that's going to clear it up for us, right? You know, if Penn State can beat Ohio State, they can really improve their chances. So, yeah, it's going to be pretty cool going forward, Chuck.
Yeah, I agree with you. Do you have any part of you that wants to move LSU over Alabama right now?
Anybody over Alabama?
No, I'm saying, is there any part of you that can justify possibly moving LSU over Alabama as we sit here right now?
No.
No,
I'm okay.
You wouldn't do
I'm
it?
Okay. Nope, I'm okay with LSU being where they are. You know,
okay.
Nick Saban is such a great coach. No matter what happens, he always seems to get things going in the right direction. So.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah, I think that's a pretty good top four as we sit right now with Oklahoma being the fifth spot. I think Ohio State, I mean, I don't know if I'm ready to call them suspect, but the thing about Ohio State is, like you just said, they have to play Wisconsin and Penn State. None of these other teams, even Alabama and LSU, I mean, Alabama has to play LSU, and then they've got the Iron Bowl at the end of the year, so yeah. Alabama has a tough road, but they're used to it. You know, they've got at least a couple big games on the schedule every year, you know, playing in the SEC.
Right.
LSU really only has Alabama. They've got that game against A&M at the end of the year, but that's in Death Valley. They've got Auburn this week. That's right. So they've got Auburn this week and Alabama next week. So depending on if they can beat Auburn, they might be in the driver's seat heading into that Alabama game, just because they'll have more on their schedule. They will have beaten Texas on the road. They will have beaten Auburn. Whereas Alabama, you know, they don't really have a credible win besides A&M and in A&M.
Right.
So depending on how that goes this week, we'll see. But I just think Ohio State has a tough road in. Having to beat both of those teams in the Big Ten and then also winning the Big Ten championship. And they also have to play Michigan. We haven't even talked about Michigan. And, you know,
yeah,
we make fun of Big Game Jim, but it's still a rivalry game and anything can happen.
Right.
So,
yep.
So, yeah. And then you've got teams like Florida and Auburn and Notre Dame still on the periphery, Georgia, you know, somewhat. So it's going to be real interesting what happens in these next few weeks. But I think that is a solid top four for right now with Oklahoma. I wouldn't have a problem Oklahoma being in there instead of Ohio State, but I think right now, I think Ohio State has earned that spot. I'll keep them in the top four and have Oklahoma.
It.
Yeah. I think Oklahoma will have a chance to prove themselves against Baylor and then in the Big Ten or Big 12 championship games. So.
Yeah.
But anyways,
I've got one other note I wanted to talk about real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
Check on some of these games here. You know, we had a real doozy of a game between Kentucky and Georgia. I don't know if you caught that. And, you know, I just wanted to point out that I think we had maybe some of the lowest stats ever in a game I've ever seen.
Oh, wow.
The Kentucky quarterback, they threw, but combined both quarterbacks threw two, they completed two passes. They attempted 16 times. They completed for 17 yards. Their quarterback, Lynn Bowden Jr., 2 for 15, 17 yards with a QBR of 3.3. And then you flip over and you look at the other side. And I know Kentucky's a running team. I know that that's what they really, that's where their bread and butter lies. But that's something. And then you got Georgia, Jake Fromm, you know, recently in the national championship game, 9 for 12, 35 yards, QBR of 6.5. I think that's probably got to be about the lowest QBR combined in a game between two major NCAA football opponents. Wow. Amazing.
That is some happy, D-backs coaches on both sides. Defensive back coaches had to be pretty pleased with that effort. Thanks for bringing that to light. I saw that Georgia won 21-0. I didn't take a look at the box score. I didn't get to watch this game. So yeah, definitely appreciate that. That is crazy. Looks like it was the DeAndre Swift show for Georgia. 179 yards, a couple touchdowns. So that good effort by him. But if you're good with week 8, we'll move on to week 9 in our picks. Are you you all ready to move on?
I'm ready to move on, man. Let's do it.
Oh, I should say do our week 8 picks, and then we'll move on to week 9. I should say so. Week 8 picks. Let's start. We had a couple Pac-12 matchups. We'll start with number 12, Oregon, against number 25, Washington. So, Casey, I had Washington winning 31-23. You had Oregon winning 33-27. The final was 35-31. Casey, I picked the upset in this one, and I almost got paid off for it. What did you see in this one?
Let's see here. So, you know, I didn't get to watch it. But, you know, Oregon, I just had some faith in Oregon, you know. I think that Justin Herbert's a good quarterback. He came out there and performed admirably, 3 for 4 touchdowns. And, you know, Washington just did not quite have enough in the tank to compete with them, you know. So, I mean, that looks really good for Oregon to go into Washington's place and to beat them on their home field. So yeah, I'm pretty happy about that pick.
Yeah. I didn't watch it, but I was keeping up with the game. I was watching the game cast and stuff like that. And Washington had, I don't want to say control of this game, but they had the lead through a pretty good portion of it. And Oregon actually came back, scored 14 unanswered to take this one. So Washington definitely had a chance to win this game. And like you said, Oregon just had a little bit too much. Justin Herbert is a very good quarterback. 4 touchdowns, no picks, 280 yards, solid game by the young man. And, Oregon had just enough for the Huskies out there in Washington. So moving on, staying in the Pac-12, we had number 17, Arizona State, against number 13, Utah. Casey, I had Arizona State winning 38-31. You had Utah winning 41-37. The final out here was not as exciting, 21-3. Utah takes this one home. Casey, you went conservative, I went risky, and it looks like conservative paid off this week.
Yeah, it sure did, man. You know, the Utah just really shut down the Arizona State Sun Devils. You know, Herm Edwards, I'm sure he's in there, like, getting fired up, probably throwing stuff around, screaming and hollering, yelling. You know, he's always pretty entertaining. But, Utah's defense really put them down. I mean, Jaden Daniels, quarterback for Arizona State, right, got 25 yards passing, QBR 4.6, you know. They had a total number of 111 yards rushing and 25 yards receiving. I mean, dude, I mean, what a defense. What a performance by the Utah Utes defense, you know. So, Herm Edwards – I don't know. Maybe he needs to go back into the broadcast booth, man.
Yeah, you were praising the Utah defense last week, and we talked about it. I, I was a little hesitant on this one, but I liked Arizona State's big wins. But yeah, Jaden Daniels, 4 of 18. Right. You know, like you said, 25 yards, not going to get it done. Utah had, you know, they didn't blow the doors off on offense, but they definitely did more than enough, especially with that defensive front. So, yeah, so Utah takes that one home. And finally, the Big Ten matchup, we had number 16, the Michigan Wolverines, number 7, Penn State Nittany Lions. KCI had Penn State winning 27-24. You had Penn State winning 17-13. The final out there in Happy Valley was 28-21. Casey, we call him not so big game Jim for a reason. He didn't give you any reason to think otherwise, did he?
No, he sure didn't, man. Penn State, Nittany Lions, you know, just continue week in and week out to put together a solid performance, you know, a really even performance as far as their offense is. You know, they get about the same amount of yards rushing and passing, and they've got a good enough defense, a really good pass rush on their team, and they were able to take care of Michigan. I mean, Michigan was able to move the ball somewhat, but the Penn State defense came to play, man.
Yeah, very true, very true. They took care of Michigan. Penn State they have to go to Minnesota, who's number 17 right now. The Golden Gophers have impressed early on. And then they have to go to Ohio State. Besides that, fairly easy schedule. They have to go to Michigan State. But Penn State, you know, if they take care of business up until that Ohio State game, very easily be in the driver's seat. That could be shaping up to be a huge game out there in the Horseshoe near the end of the year.
Absolutely. They've
definitely impressed thus far.
Yeah.
So with that, Casey, if you're ready, I'm ready to move on. Oh, real quick. So I got 1 out of 3 right that week, and you swept the board 3 out of 3. So what that means for
yes!
the season, what that means for the season score is you did take the lead. You took advantage. The season score right now is Casey 13, Chuck 12, going into week 9.
Let me be brief, Chuck. It feels good.
Well, you've earned it. You know, I took some risks that last week, and you kind of you stayed steady, and you know I commend you for that, because sometimes the upset bug can be hard to resist. But yeah, it just won my week last week. But we'll see if we can steer it right in week 9. We got a couple big Big Ten matchups this week. Well, one Big Ten matchup, the other one involving a Big Ten team. Let's start. Oh, man, all these are great games. Let's start with the big rivalry game. This is a rivalry game, even though they don't share the same conference. We've got number 19, the Michigan Wolverines, against number 8, Notre Dame, Fighting Irish. Casey, Michigan has been in our picks the past few weeks. They've had a pretty tough schedule, facing Wisconsin and Iowa and Penn State and now Notre Dame. Looks like Jim Harbaugh just can't get a break. But we call him not so big game Jim for a reason. Does that change this week?
No, it does not. Notre Dame is going to win this game. You know, even though I know it's at Michigan, I think, you know, what is it? What do we call him now? You know, small game Jim, big game Jim. I think Notre Dame has a good team. I think Michigan has shown that their offense is not able to keep up with the other people, you know, so. Yeah, I've got Notre Dame winning this game 33-24.
33-24. Now, Casey, you, like a lot of people, are normally not a believer in Notre Dame. It seems like year in and year out, you think they are pretenders, as do a lot of people. And you've rightfully thought so. They've proven to be pretenders once they get into bowl season. So it says a lot for you to pick. I don't want to say an unproven, because they played a couple, you know, big games early on. They gave Georgia a run for their money, but Georgia lost to South Carolina, and they've beaten number 18 Virginia. So it says a lot that you're picking Notre Dame in this game. Did you have any? Was this a tough one to pick for you?
No, it was a pretty easy one for me. No,
I feel. Man, so you're just anti Jim Harbaugh all the way.
Yeah, dude, I am.
Would you pick Michigan? Would you pick Michigan to beat Boston College right now?
Yes, I would pick Michigan to beat Boston College.
You had to pause for quite a while, though. You had to give that thought. Man, would you? Here's the real question. One last question. Would you pick Michigan to beat Texas A&M right now?
Yes, I would pick Michigan to beat Texas A&M. Yeah.
Man, that's rough. That is rough. I would pick Michigan to beat up on Texas's defense right now. So that's fair. this is going to be a good game. This is a rivalry game. I think the kids are going to get up for this one. It's 6:30 at night. It's on ABC. It's in Ann Arbor, Michigan Stadium. It's in the Big House. You know what? I was going to go with Notre Dame when I started this, but I just talked myself into it. I'm going to say Big Game Jim comes back to play. He beat Iowa. He found a way. I think that Michigan defense is going to do just enough in this game. I think they're going to come to play. I think the night game, Big House, all that stuff, juices are going to be flowing. I think Michigan takes this one home. And if they do, it's going to have to be a low-scoring game. So I'm going to pick Michigan 19. I'm going to go a weird one. It's going to be 19-11. Michigan's going to take this one home. 19-11, Casey. I'm putting it in. I don't know if I'm going to pick another upset on this slate, but I'm going to do it in this one. So,
okay. All right.
We got that one booked in. We'll see what Jim Harbaugh does. If he can beat a top 10 team, that'll go a long way in regaining the trust in his fan base. But so that's the night game. The early game in the Big Ten is 11 a.m. Fox. We've got number 13, Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Badgers against the number 3, Ohio State Buckeyes. Casey, who do you have in this one?
All right. This is a tough one for me to call, man. You know, I really had to think about this one because, you know, Ohio State, you know, they've beaten people pretty well, but not really good teams. You know, I know Wisconsin did just lose in a big upset, but I still think they have a strong team. But what I'm going for, man, is I'm going for a really close game, and I'm going to give the home field advantage victory over to Ohio State. 28-27. It's a one-point game. It's going to be a tough struggle, but I think the home field advantage actually wins out there.
28-27, Ohio State. That sounds like a great game.
Yep.
This is going to be a fun rushing battle to watch between Jonathan Taylor and J.K. Dobbins. Both of them are solid running backs. You know, Justin Fields and Cohn, two great quarterbacks as well. But this is going to be a battle of the rushers, I think.
Yeah.
So the matchup predictor is that Ohio State has an 83.9% chance of winning. That's a little high, I think. But like I said, I don't think I'm going to pick another upset on this slate. I'm giving you a little preview into the next one. I think I'm going to go Ohio State in this one. Okay. Yeah, they haven't proven themselves. But, I mean, really, has Wisconsin, when they got tested, well, they didn't even get tested last week. They lost to Michigan State. They won against Michigan in good fashion, but that was also in Wisconsin, and we know Michigan doesn't play big games. So, I don't like picking teams to lose 2 weeks in a row, but you know how I like the home team. So I'm gonna go Ohio State in this one. And let's see. I'm gonna say Ohio State wins this one 30-21. Ohio State takes that one home.
All right.
So in the final game this week, it's an SEC matchup. We have number 9, the Auburn Tigers, against the number 2, LSU. You guessed it, Tigers. We got the Tigers versus the Tigers. Casey, who are you picking? Don't tell me it's the Tigers.
I think I'm going to go with the Tigers this week, Chuck. You know, just real brief. I think that's what I'm going to go with. So I'm going LSU. 24-21, Chuck. I'm going to go again with the home field advantage. Another close game, another tight game. I think the Auburn has a good defense, so I think they may be able to put the brakes a little bit on LSU and their high-flying offense. But I think ultimately, once again, I'm going home field advantage in this one too. You know, really can be a toss-up with these two games because they both play pretty tough. So 24-21, the Tigers, the Bayou Tigers, Chuck.
The Bayou Bengals. Yeah, this one's at 2:30 on CBS. So if you plan your day just right, you can watch all three. You know, they do that on purpose. So 2:30 on CBS. The matchup predictor has LSU as a 66.3% chance of winning this one. Joe Burrow versus Bo Nix. This one should be an instant classic. Yeah, I don't think Auburn has the firepower to hang with LSU. They might hang with them in the first half. You know, they always typically have a pretty good defense over there in Auburn, and Bo Nix has been, you know, special at times, but Joe Burrow is a Heisman candidate. LSU, they got that offense working. They got that defense working. And, you know, I think they're going to be a little bit too much for Auburn in this one. So, especially in Tiger Stadium in Death Valley. If it was in War Eagle, then maybe we'd be having a different discussion. But I'm going to go LSU in this one, and I think it's going to be a little bit higher scoring. I'm going to go 33-23 in this one, Casey. I think LSU takes that one home by 10.
Tigers?
I'm going to go with the Tigers in that one, yeah.
You know, I think the Tigers?
I really feel good about the Tigers' chances of winning that game.
Okay, very good, man.
So anyways, with that, Casey, if you're good with your picks, we can move on into the briefcase player of the week.
Chuck, you know, we've already mentioned it and discussed it just a little bit, real briefly, but, man, I can't pick anybody other than Shane Buechele for SMU. I mean, there's nobody else out there. He put in a performance like he did this last week, right? What do we say, 30 completions, 53 attempts, 457 yards, 6 touchdowns. I mean, 6 touchdowns? Are you kidding me? That's ridiculous. I mean, they really came out there and took it to Temple. So, yeah, Shane Buechele is the briefcase player of the week. And I'm going to go ahead and open up the side of the briefcase. Let me look in here and rummage around a little bit. Hold on. I'm going to go ahead and throw in Reggie Robertson as the runner-up as well for SMU. You know, both SMU players, 8 receptions, 250 yards, 31.3 average, and 3 TDs. So, you know, first place, Shane Buechele, and just honorable mention for Reggie Robertson, really command briefcase-type performances this weekend, Chuck.
Wow, I didn't actually see Reggie Robertson's stat line. That is insane, 250 yards receiving. That is that is video game numbers there. I mean, I can literally – I don't think I can do that on NCAA with five-minute quarters. That is insanity.
Yeah.
He also had a long of 75-yard – a 75-yard reception. That is unbelievable. SMU is a freight train coming for the AAC title. They have to play Houston in Houston this week. They've got to play Memphis in Memphis. They have to play they have to play Navy on the road. Yeah, you know, they've got some tough games. Tulane at the end of the year. Tulane's looking pretty good. So they've got a tough road out, but they've already beaten TCU. They've beaten some good teams. So, man, SMU's got a tough road out, but if they can finish with a 10 or even an 11-win season, what that would do for that program would be transcendent. I mean, that is just incredible.
Yeah, they might be in one of the big bowl games, one of the New Year's Day, New Year's Eve bowl games, the Big Six, right?
Very well could be, yeah. They could pull a UCF and be the 2019 national champions. So look out for that. Are you going to get you a SMU 2019 national champion shirt?
You know, I might just do that, dude. Just walk around here. Yeah, I'm from Dallas. Kind of jump on board that, you know. One of these days we'll talk about, you know, my requirements for teams that you pull for, you know. So,
yeah, if you
talk about that sometime.
If you run into a UCF fan with a 2017 or 2018, whatever it was, national championship shirt, you can go, hey, national champions.
Right.
You know? But, yeah, so the two great performances by those SMU Mustangs. They're really blowing the top off the place. But for my final take of the week, I'm taking it over to baseball. The World Series is starting. People, go out there. It should be an excellent fall classic. We've got the 2017 World Series champion Houston Astros making their third appearance in franchise history, looking for their second World Series title after that 2017 title.
Yeah.
Against the first time ever National League champion Washington Nationals. First time ever in franchise history to ever be in the World Series. You can get stuff like that in baseball because there are no favorites. There are no dominant teams. You never know who's going to make it in baseball, and it gets shook up every year. So not even when they were the Montreal Expos did they make the World Series. So awesome. Should be a great fall classic. Some huge stars, Steven Strasburg and Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander and Garrett Cole and Jose Altuve, Carlos Correa. I mean, there's stars all over the place. So be a great fall classic. And one last tidbit, the New York Yankees losing in the ALCS means that for the first time in 100 years since the 1910s, they have gone an entire decade and not made the World Series. First time.
Wow.
Yep. Pretty big stat. In every single decade from the 1920s to the 2000s, they had made the World Series at least once.
Wow.
Until the 2010s. So
thank goodness.
Yes.
Well,
at least
came to an end.
Yeah, America can sleep great knowing that the Yankees dynasty is no more. So,
yes.
But with that, Casey, if you're ready to get out of here, we will get out of here. Guys, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. Make sure to share us on any social media platform you want. Leave us a rating or review. Let us know how we did. And yeah, so for the briefcase, I'm Chuck Taylor. We'll see you guys next week. This has been another episode of Unpopular Opinions.